Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. My name is Jesse DeLeon, and I'm here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. Good morning, Bishop. How are you?
Good morning, Jesse. It's good to see you.
Good to see you as well. We begin a new chapter together today.
We're starting something new here.
We are, and very happy and honored to be with you this morning, Bishop, and the new co-host, the new presenter on Our Shepherd's View on this second Sunday of Advent. We are preparing our hearts to hear the Gospel of Matthew, which you will share with us now.
The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. John the Baptist appeared preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all of Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now, the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Lots of imagery in this gospel.
A lot of imagery, you're right.
And it brings to mind so many word pictures, so many things that we picture in our minds. These words are meant to startle us.
I think you're right. I mean, the word repent, mm-hmm. for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I think, you know, we need to think even for ourselves as we reflect throughout this Advent time, what does it mean to repent? Mm-hmm. And why should I repent? I think that's probably the bigger question for most people. Why should I repent? These are my sins. I don't want to tell them to anybody. But the idea of repentance is expressing, is the ability to express what is contrary, not only to God, but also contrary to my nature of being able to hear God. Mm-hmm. Because if you see when he says, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand," and then he says it was of him, John the Baptist, that the prophet spoke when he said, "A voice is crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." So if we were to look at that in our own life today, how much can we really see God, hear the Holy Spirit, hear the voice of the gospel in our own life when we are distracted by our own sins? Sin is something that really distracts. It separates, first of all, mm-hmm. at its very root, it separates us from God and from each other, but it also distracts us from hearing the truth. Sin is a powerful thing in any person's life, and to at least have the humility to repent, to voice, to express what is sin in my life opens my ears, opens my heart in a humble way to hear the message of truth, which is Jesus Christ. And that's what John is screaming out, you might say, mm-hmm. in the desert to repent.
So he's clearing the way for Jesus, but also urging us to clear the decks, as it were, of our own sin to be more receptive to his coming.
But the beauty of Advent is, and this has really struck me this year in a strong way, you know, we speak about three comings. Mm-hmm. The first coming was, of course, in Bethlehem, mm-hmm. the coming of Jesus. Then the second coming is every day. Mm-hmm. We can encounter Jesus Christ every day. And then the third coming is what we all long for, which is eternity. So when we're reading the gospel, we're reading the event of John the Baptist crying out to the people of his time, mm-hmm. repents because prepare the way of the Lord is for that coming, the first coming of Jesus in Bethlehem, the birth of Jesus, the birth of the Son of God, the birth of the Word of God in Bethlehem. But we also have to look at it in terms of our own day. Mm-hmm. You know, what's burdening me today? We walk around, we say, I'm okay. I'm okay. You're okay.
Right.
But if we're really honest and truthful about it, there are things in our life that are unreconciled, not unreconcilable, but they're unreconciled. And that produces a psychological burden, mm-hmm. a spiritual burden in people's lives. And it's not really until we reconcile with that and repent, if it is sinful, mm-hmm. that we really open the channels of communication between God and ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then also preparing ourselves for eternal life, the third coming.
The challenge, of course, too, is to always be self-aware, to dig deep sometimes for some of these things that we might carry that we don't even really realize are affecting maybe our behavior, our relationship with the Lord, how we treat others.
Well, that's another good point. You're very right, because to be aware is something that is so important on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And that's why the church, in its history of spiritual life, as many of the saints talking about an examination of conscience or a conscious examine, mm-hmm. to look at ourselves, do we really know ourselves?
Right.
And when we do, when we stay in touch with ourselves, we recognize that there are times we have failed, we've sinned, and to confess those frees us. When we don't, when we're not aware of ourselves, or we deny something in our life, or we ignore something in our life, it builds and it builds. And sometimes it's an insurmountable block. Mm-hmm.
It's heavier to move.
Right. I've seen that so many times.
Unfortunately,
right. You just want to say to a person, if you would just let go of that, or right. if you would just move away from that, how free you would be. Mm-hmm. Experienced just recently an experience with someone who just found that they needed to reconcile with someone. Mm-hmm. And it just, people are saying, I don't recognize this person. They're so free. They're
right.
so happy.
Right, right.
And it is true. That calling out to prepare the way is basically that.
It does also free your spirit in terms of the way you deal with not only yourself, but with that person and with other people too.
Absolutely, yeah. The second part of the gospel, it really speaks of John, you know, really kind of speaking to the scribes, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, when he calls them, you brood of vipers. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're out here for this baptism that I'm doing, but it's probably a show. Mm-hmm. And he says, if it's not a show, then show me by your works mm-hmm. that you really do have this faith in the power of Jesus Christ, etc., or the power of God's love in your life. And so show me something, and not just tell me that you're out here, but show me that you really are repentant. Show me that you really do want to do good. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, that speaks to us in this three phase of the coming of Christ, that even today, sometimes we may put on an act to join the crowd and to be look good, but maybe there's something else much deeper. And so, again, I think it's important that all of us, that self-awareness that you spoke of is so powerful and so meaningful and needed in all of our lives. And a part of that being self-aware is also leads to repentance.
Right. So that's what I was going to kind of tie that to is when you do realize you need help, like when you need to go to the doctor, same thing when you go to the confessional, I need to unburden myself of this. And in a sense, you give yourself the gift of freedom, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah. It's not just a feeling. I think it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, I would say. You know, I mean, all of us say, well, I feel so much better when mm-hmm. I go to confession. Well, in reality, that is true, but in reality, it's the Holy Spirit. mm-hmm. is giving you the gifts of joy, of peace. Whenever we are unburdened of our human humanity and our human mistakes, and we open ourselves to the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, His gifts are joy and peace and love and faith. And that's what overwhelms us when we confess our sins with freedom. And not being coerced, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. with freedom, we can experience the joy and the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And I think so many people aren't used to that feeling, that it becomes something that they get used to, obviously, but it's something that takes them by surprise.
Well, exactly. And I think that sometimes, even with confession, and I say this respectfully, it can become a routine for us. Mm-hmm. You know, I mm-hmm. put an expectation on myself that I do it every week, mm-hmm. every 2 weeks, and I'm on a schedule.
Right, right.
And we have to be careful. Being repentant is not on a schedule. Repentance is when I'm aware that I've alienated myself from God. I've attached myself from something that keeps me from God, from my neighbor, from loving, from faith. And that's the true repentance when that comes out. I'm not saying having a regular schedule for confession is bad.
Right, right.
But not to fall into the habit that this is just because it is the first and third Saturday of the month.
Or, right.
You know, it's this or that.
Right.
But that's not the reason that I go. The reason I go is because I am sorry and sorrowful for my sins and want that released into a new freedom.
Advent, a good time to give the gift to yourself of confession.
It's a great way to prepare, yeah. Uh-huh. So that the real gift, which is Jesus Christ, is more present in mm-hmm. our life and more felt by us in our actions and words.
I think that's something that we should all prayerfully consider doing, obviously, every month of the year, but especially during the season of Advent, as you said, as we prepare for Jesus' coming.
Yes, sure. Absolutely.
I think that's something that leads us into our Word of Life, being the first Sunday of December.
Yeah.
And we will reflect on that here with you, Bishop. It's something that I think has a truly beautiful message for the season of Advent.
Yeah. It brings hope, it says. And I think the first word of this Isaiah chapter 26, which is where the Word of Life is taken from, is trust. Trust in the Lord forever. And probably the greatest sign of trust is repentance, that I trust so much mm-hmm. that the Lord can forgive me, will forgive me, and that I can receive that sacrament, that beautiful sacrament of reconciliation and penance. So for December, the Word of Life is taken from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord God, you have an everlasting rock. Word of Life we're aiming to live this month is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, a wide-ranging of rich text that is cherished in the Christian tradition. In fact, it contains beloved writings such as the announcement of the Emmanuel, God is with us, or the figure of the suffering servant in Isaiah 52, which forms the background to the accounts of Jesus' passion and death. This verse is part of a song of thanksgiving that the prophet places on the lips of the people of Israel when, having overcome their terrible ordeal of exile, they finally return to Jerusalem. His words bring hope to the heart, because God's presence beside Israel is faithful and unwavering as a rock. God himself will sustain every effort made by the people as they rebuild their civil, political, and religious life. While the city, believed to be lofty, will be razed to the ground, because it is not built according to God's plan of love, but one built on the rock of his closeness will enjoy peace and prosperity. How can we overcome the temptation to let ourselves be brought down by the difficulties we face nowadays, which can make us close in on ourselves and cultivate feelings of suspicion and mistrust towards others? As Christians, the answer is certainly to rebuild with courage. First of all, by trusting in the relationship with God, who in Jesus became our neighbor as we journey through life, even when we travel along the darkest, narrowest, steepest, and most winding pathways. But this faith does not mean passive waiting. On the contrary, It asks us to be active, creative, and responsible protagonists in building a new city founded on the commandment of mutual love. This city has opened doors and welcomes everyone, especially the poor and the oppressed, who have always been the Lord's favorites. As we travel along the path, we are certain to enjoy the companionship of many men and women who hold dear the universal values of solidarity and the dignity of every person, as well as respect for creation, our common home. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord God we have an everlasting rock. In the Spanish village of Alcir, an entire community is committed to building fraternal relationships based upon open and inclusive forms of participation. They tell us, in the summer of 2008, we set up a cultural association with the aim of carrying out activities of various kinds, both of our own initiative as well as in collaboration with other associations in the area. Our goal was to promote spaces for dialogue and international humanitarian projects. For example, every year since the beginning, we have promoted a solidarity dinner for the Fraternity with Africa project to finance scholarships for young Africans committed to working in their country for at least 5 years. These are dinners that bring together about 200 people and are supported by shopkeepers and other groups. We have also been very happy to work for many years now with other associations. Together, we organize an annual event that is open to people active in such fields as culture, music, painting, and literature, as well as representatives engaged in politics, business, and medicine. It is an opportunity for all of them to share experiences from their working lives and the deeper reasons for the choices they have made. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord God you have an everlasting rock. Christmas is approaching. Let us already begin to prepare for it by welcoming Jesus in his word, which is the rock upon which to build the city for all people. As Focolare founder Chiara Lubich wrote in her gospel commentary of September 2006, quote, "Let us be the very embodiment of his word. Let us make it our own. Let us experience the power it unleashes in us and around us if we put it into practice. Let us fall in love with the gospel to the point of allowing ourselves to be transformed by it and thus enable it to overflow onto us. It will no longer be we who live. Christ will be formed in us. We will be free from ourselves, from our limitations, and from all that enslaves us. In addition, we will see the revolution of love explode, the revolution that Jesus, who is free to live in us, will kindle in society around us."
A beautiful word of life, echoing what we were talking about earlier, freeing ourselves from carrying the sin and taking it to the confessional and laying it at the foot of the cross so that we can experience more fully the love she's talking about. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think we just had a meeting a little while ago on people, especially young people, and rightfully so, who are confused by so many voices out there, so many ideas, so many suggestions. And it is confusing for not only young people, but for everybody. Mm-hmm. But what we're all looking for is an everlasting rock. And who is that rock except the Word of God, the truth, Jesus Christ himself? And so trusting in him, putting aside so many other things that are suggested to us or that sound good or may seem to offer freedom, but mm-hmm. in reality offer an enslavement to
right.
life.
Mm-hmm.
But that becomes a rock for our life. And it's something that has to be, how should I say, practiced in the sense that it's not a one-time shot.
Mm-hmm.
As if somebody says, you know, I choose Jesus, which is true, but it's an everyday, every hour experience. And so that's why the word of life for us is so important. is something, it's like a mantra to repeat, trust in the Lord forever. When I'm in a tight spot or a difficult spot and I want to say something or I want to act differently than I should, trust in the Lord forever because he's the rock. And it's kind of like turning my life, my words, my thoughts toward him, which then prevents me from going the wrong way. Say it that way. So in this way, the word of God is so powerful that it can transform our actions, our words, our thoughts, etc.
And the words that jumped out at me in the first section of the Word of Life, they're talking about trusting in the relationship with God, but also how faith is not something that is passive. We have to engage not only ourselves, but with the Lord and with those around us, taking that action. It's like saying, I'm praying for a job, but you don't go out and do any of the steps that are needed to make that happen. And when the Holy Spirit will move you, then that's when things happen. But it's not a passive thing. I think that leads us into what we were talking about earlier as well, where we have to take the action to go to the confessional or take the action to unburden ourselves.
Or go be reconciled with something. We have to do it. You know, they're old. I mean, we always think there's things new in the church. They're old as forever.
Right.
And one of them is a heresy that existed long ago. And it's probably not exactly this, but it's similar. Called quietism. You know, I just rest in the Spirit, which is good for a time of prayer and to experience the Spirit and his love. But we do have to act as well, so as you're saying. So we can't just say, well, I'll let the Spirit take care of it. and he perhaps does, but he also motivates us to go and do our part to move toward maybe that reconciliation or that phone call or something that would help to bring a better experience to a relationship between God or each other.
The ultimate call to action.
Exactly. But it always needs to be motivated by the truth. And the Word of God, I found, you know, I can say many, many times that you just want to act with what St. Paul calls the old man. Man of sin, the old man of
routine.
And all these things. But that's what St. Paul says, put on the new man or the new person. Put that new person on, which is Jesus Christ, which is the Word of God. And things change. It's like you go from darkness to light. If I had said this probably would have been the result. But thinking more in terms of Jesus himself, what he would do changes it to a light, a situation of light and not darkness. And this is what our life is all about.
Amen.
And there's the word in here, too, of being transformed. We don't think of that very often, you know, that our life in Christ is really a life that is in the process of being transformed.
A constant transformation.
Constant.
It's not static at all.
Right. And that's where St. Paul is quoted here, where St. Paul wrote in the Galatians, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And that's because I've listened to his word. I try to put it into practice. I pray, you know, even walking down the street or driving the car, that mantra, trust in the Lord forever. And it just becomes part of us. And that part of us, as the word of God, is the transforming element to transform us into no longer I living, but Christ who lives in me.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, for a wonderful reflection there in our Word of Life for December. As we near the end of our first broadcast together, it went by so quickly, and we're here together as we wrap up on this second Sunday of Advent. If you would please close for us.
During this Advent time, Lord Jesus, you ask us to open our lives to you and to open our lives to serving others. Help us to be transformed by your word that became flesh on the day of the birth of Jesus Christ. We ask all of this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.